Thank you for that singing this morning. Today, I'll wait for that. There it is. It's up. Didn't have to wait long. We're going to look at theme 3 in the book of Proverbs, and we walked through the first 9 chapters. We've looked at Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly. We came to chapter 10 and these short algorithms, these pithy sayings. And so when we hit that transition, we started looking at different themes. We use Proverbs 9:10 as our springboard. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It looks like there's junior church. Either that or I started preaching and everybody's running out, starting with the little ones. But we look at this, the fear of the Lord. And so with that, get this turned the right way so it works. A wise son is one who fears the Lord. That is a reverence for God. And you can't have the proper reverence for God without having a right relationship with God. So this reverence, this high reverence for God is based on having a relationship with Him. We can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sin. That's a gift that has to be received. And so this we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and if you put your faith in Christ, you have a relationship with God, and we should have a reverence for God. And that should be expressed through submission to God. We read His Word, we see what God's Word says, we obey His Word, we're obedient to His Word, we submit to God's will and God's way, and therefore we bring glory to God. This kind of child makes a father glad. We brought out the fact that the choice a child makes will bring either joy or sorrow to a parent. And so that was our springboard that we started out with. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The more I know about God, the more I know what God loves, what God hates, what God is like, the more I come to understand that. And I love what God loves. I hate what God hates. I become more like Him. This is what a wise son does. That's a wise son that makes his father glad. So we started out looking at the theme of sovereignty, and then we looked at the next theme that we looked at was pride. And today, we're going to look at the theme, this thing is not working right, of laziness. And so what does God's Word say about laziness? What does God think about laziness? Or more specifically, what does Proverbs say about laziness? The word lazy, I did a word search in the book of Proverbs. That shows up 15 times. If you work at lazy or laziness, you'll see it 15 times. The word slothful appears once. Sluggard, 2 times. And the word slack, and it's in this verse, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, in reference to laziness. That shows up once. So the opposite of laziness in Proverbs is the word diligence or diligent. This word shows up 5 times in contrast to laziness. So Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness. So what does God say about laziness? Because the better I understand that and apply it, respond to it in the same way God does, I'll make my father glad. I'll live that out. So let's pray and then we'll unpack this problem of laziness. We're going to start out in Genesis and then come back and look at several verses in Proverbs. Lord, thank you for, again, the opportunity that we have just to gather here today corporately to sing praises to you, to open your word and to study it. As we look at this topic of laziness, help us to understand your view of laziness, because you're right. You're always right. And what you think of laziness, we should as well as your children. So Lord, I pray that each one of us would be sensitive to your word, to the Spirit's work in our lives. I pray that we would respond to this in the right way, that we would be proper reflectors of you, that we'd be good stewards of what you've given to us, so that you could be exalted, that you'd be glorified, that we would make you glad. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to point out three problems here with laziness. The first is this: laziness is a sin problem. Laziness is a sin problem. In fact, God is a worker. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Point out to you that God is a worker. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his what? His work. He ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And so we see here that God is a worker. God worked. Now, it said God rested from his work. That doesn't mean that God has never worked since. Is God at work today? He's at work in our hearts, our lives. He's at work in this world. God didn't create everything and then just take his hands off. God is at work today. God is a worker. And with that, God also commanded us to work. We've been commanded to work. We're created. We see Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Flip back there quickly. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we've been created in the image and likeness of God to have dominion over the rest of creation. And if you go to Genesis 2, 8 through 15, we saw in verse 8, God planted a garden, placed man in it. And then verse 9, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon, and it is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To tend and keep it." Okay, God gave man a responsibility. They were to tend and keep the garden that he had made, to have dominion over creation. And so work is not part of the curse. They were to tend and keep it. This is before the fall of man, before they sinned against God. So we can't look at work and say, well, work is part of the curse. Man was commanded to work before the curse. We are created to work, to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And so work is good stewardship. We have all been allotted a certain amount of time. I don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have. But we've all been allotted a certain amount of time that we have, that we are stewards of. We're to use that time to glorify God, to be a steward of what he has given. We've been given time. We've been given certain resources. We've been given talents and gifts, abilities. And we're to use those things to produce something. And so we've all been given time to produce something. We've been given gifts, talents to produce something. And so laziness leads to poor stewardship. Let's go back to Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 12, 27. And most of our time now is going to be just in the book of Proverbs here. Chapter 12, verse 27 says, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." So a lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. And lazy people, they waste. And this person here that's mentioned, he won't even process the animal that he harvested. There's actually a law against that called wanton waste. I mean, if you waste that animal, you can be fined for it. That's poor stewardship. Go to Proverbs 18, verse 9. It says, "He who is slothful in his work," he who's lazy in his work, "is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." So if you're lazy in your work, you're a brother to one who is a great destroyer. You're destructive, not productive. And so laziness leads to poor stewardship. And lazy people waste. What do they waste? They waste time. They waste money. They waste resources. They waste abilities. They waste talents. They waste gifts. How much do we waste? How much time do we waste? A lot. Are your gifts and abilities, are they used for God's glory? As Bill read the passage this morning, two verses said that we're to do all to the glory of God. Do we use our time, our abilities, our talents, our gifts? Are we good stewards with what God has given to us? How much do we waste? And do we waste time, resources? Laziness is a sin problem. God commanded us to work, so if you're lazy, that's sin, right? Can we agree on that? Laziness is sin. But laziness is also a personal problem. That's not just a problem with God, it's a problem for the lazy person. Laziness is a personal problem. Look at it's self-deception. It's full of excuses. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." And he won't plow because it's winter. Then he begs because he doesn't have anything. Go to 22 verse 13. "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion outside. I'll be slain in the streets.'" And he makes excuses. Think about this. People die at work, right? And I've known people that have died at work. "I better not go to work. I might die." And how are you going to get there? Because people get in car accidents every day, right, and die. And if I got to travel to work, then I better stay home. Because I don't want to die. That only makes sense for a lazy person. And it's excuses. Look at chapter 26. Chapter 26, verses 13 to 16. And this verse is repeated that we just read. "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets.'" Verse 14, "As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed." And think about that. Those doors back there, they just swing on the hinges, never leave it. It's just back and forth. The lazy man just lays on his bed, turns from side to side. "The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth." Ugh. And it's just hard to even get that spoon back to your mouth. It must not be ice cream with peanut butter on it. "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." And the wisdom in their own eyes, they're smarter than everybody else. But it's self-deception. Excuses. Reasons why they can't do this, why they can't do that. So it's self-deception, and it leads to dissatisfaction with life. Look at chapter 13, verse 4. "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And so it's not that he's lazy. His laziness isn't because he doesn't want something. In fact, lazy people often, they covet. They want things. They just don't want to work for it. And so this lazy man, he desires, he wants stuff, he covets things, he wants what you have, but he's too lazy to work for it. He is dissatisfied with life. He wants it, but he can't have it because he's too lazy to work. Look at chapter 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. And so this lazy man, it just kills him because he wants something, but he's too lazy to work. He thinks he got the raw end of the deal. He's dissatisfied with life. Life isn't fair. Look at chapter 19. Verse 15 again. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer with hunger. And they covet constantly, they have nothing, they're too lazy to work for it. They just want it handed to them. They want everything given to them. And they're just dissatisfied, and they look at you and they're all upset because you have it and how lucky you are to have these things. So they're unsatisfied. This dissatisfaction also leads to difficulties in life. And I understand we all have difficulties in life, don't we? And all of us have difficulties, but these are self-imposed difficulties. These difficulties are a result of their laziness. Look at chapter 12. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. And remember, this is a rule of thumb. These aren't promises in Proverbs, but it's the rule of thumb. It's the norm. Because I look around now and I don't know that the diligent are ruling. Certainly the wise aren't. I think sometimes the lazy are ruling. But here's the rule of thumb. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Servitude. And the lazy person, he's never in a place of leadership, never in a place where he can be his own boss because he's not motivated. Constantly has to be told what to do. If you have a lazy person, you hire this person and you say, I want you to do this. They do that and then they sit down and they wait. Usually they wait in a spot that's hard to find them. And they wait for you to come and tell them what to do next. And you usually have to redo what they're supposed to do because they didn't do it right. And it's frustrating. But it leads to servitude. They have to be watched all the time. They have to be told what to do. Scott and I were talking about this yesterday, how frustrating it is. Sometimes the younger generation, they just don't want to work. I had the wrestling team there, and I couldn't get them to, and they're just lazy. And so on the whiteboard in the wrestling room, I wrote in Greek, egero. I said, you guys know what that is? I said, no. I said, you're right. Work is Greek to you. You don't know how to work. You got to learn how to work. And laziness is wrong. And it leads to servitude. It also leads to poverty. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. And laziness leads to poverty. Chapter 24. Verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And here, what this man had, this field, it's this vineyard, it's overgrown, it's full of thistles, it's full of nettles. And sometimes people have nothing because people do nothing. And I understand we live in difficult times. And Carrie and I let's see, it'll be 36 years we'll be married this year. And when we got married, I remember going through the grocery store with a cart mounded with groceries, and we'd go to the checkout, and it was always a guess to see how much it was and wonder if we had enough. But I remember a grocery cart full was about $75. Now, what is it? Probably pushing even $400 even. And so I understand, and Carrie and I have sat and talked and about young people and how difficult it must be at times to make it. So I understand that we live in some difficult times, and sometimes it is hard to make ends meet, even when you're working hard. But oftentimes it's because people are just plain lazy. They don't work. They won't work. And it leads to servitude. It leads to poverty. It leads to hunger, and we've looked at this already, but let's go back to Proverbs 19. Laziness casts one, verse 15, into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Now, in our country, and there are so many programs out there that even a lot of lazy people don't go hungry. Carrie and I, we were in Seattle several years ago. We took the train Amtrak out to Seattle, and I could not believe how many homeless people were there. And they're on the streets, and they're begging for food, and a lot of them had great... One person had a great big cell phone, but they're begging for food. And I wondered, how'd they get that phone? And then it's sad, too, because that's someone's son or daughter, and how did they end up there? What choices took them there? And oftentimes, it's addictions, it's drugs and whatnot, but there's poverty, and there's hunger. And again, in our country, laziness doesn't always lead to hunger, but it certainly can, and it definitely leads to hardships. Look at chapter 15. Verse 19. Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness, doesn't it? Look at verse 19 of chapter 15. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. You ever, I've tracked deer, and you come to a hedge of thorns and trying to get through that, and it is difficult. There's hardship that comes with laziness. And people don't realize that it's self-imposed. Even death. Look at 21 verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. We read that already. And then verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's stated twice in Proverbs. And it can lead to death. So laziness is not only a God problem, it's sin, it's a personal problem, and laziness is a social problem, a societal problem. How many here have a problem with laziness? There's lazy people. Even if you're not lazy, you still have a problem with laziness. Because lazy people are an irritation to society. I didn't say it. I'm not being mean. God said it. Look at chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Laziness is a problem to society. I didn't try the vinegar on the teeth thing. What does that do? But Carrie and I were camping last week, and when we go camping, we back the camper in and get out, set the camper up, and build a fire. And that fire goes 24/7. We don't let it go out, and I like campfires. But I don't like smoke in my eyes. It's irritating. I was sitting around that campfire, and I said, can you move over? And the smoke's right in my face. They say smoke follows beauty, but I ruined that theory. But it made my eyes water. It brought tears to my eyes. And that's what lazy people do to society. It's like smoke in your eyes. The smoke irritates your eyes. It brings tears to your eyes. And a lazy person has the same effect on society. Lazy people are a burden to society. In 2023, there were 70 million people on welfare in the United States. The federal government spent $1.3 trillion on 80 different welfare programs. This is more than the national defense budget, which comes in at $820 billion. Isn't that amazing? $1.3 trillion on 80 different welfare programs. Again, I understand that some people need a leg up. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem if people are trying to make ends meet and they need a help. I don't have a problem with that. Some people need assistance, but many do not. Many are in that position by choice, by laziness, which is what? Sin. Right? I'm going to share a story with you, and I'm not being prejudiced in any way. This is a true account. It happened. And so I'm just going to share with you the way it played out. About 16 years ago, I was coaching wrestling out at Northland, and I brought the wrestling team here to Minnesota to wrestle U of M, Concordia, and ICC. And then we stayed in your houses. The guys came to church with me. One taught Sunday school. I think one did the morning service. They sang, and the guys were some godly group of wrestlers that I had. But while we were here, a young man attached himself to my wrestlers. He's in his early 20s. And so they showed up at the houses we were staying in, and if we went somewhere, he went. He just wanted to be with those wrestlers. And it was good. But he's telling me, he said, you know, I'd like to go to Bible college. And I said, well, you should do that. You know, you should pursue that. And so after that Sunday, I put the wrestlers back in the vehicle, went to Senex, fueled up. We're going to head back to Wisconsin. And I look over, and here's this guy, gets out of a vehicle, passenger side of a vehicle, opens the back door, gets out. He has a backpack on, a bag under his arm, and a pillow. I said, what are you up to? He said, well, I'm ready. And I thought, now what? And he's just going to come to college. And I think, well, you got to apply and be accepted. But I was thinking, how can I help this young man? Because he seemed to be looking for some good friends, good fellowship. And so I put him in the vehicle. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to pull some strings. I'm going to call the dean of students. I'm going to call the athletic director. If they say no, he's on his way to my house. Hadn't talked to Carrie yet. So he's in the vehicle, and I make a couple phone calls, and they say, well, Steve, semester already started. I said, I understand that. But after some talking, they said, well, I'll tell you, come in Monday, and we'll talk to this guy, and we'll go from there. So I brought him in Monday. We sat down with the dean of students, and they heard his testimony, and they had him go. They talked to me, and they said, I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do, Steve. He can audit three classes. He can stay in the dorms. He has room and board, so he'll get three meals at the dining hall. He can stay in the dorms. He can audit three classes. It's too late in the semester for him to take a class for credit. And all he has to do is work 15 hours a week on campus. I thought, good deal. And that is a good deal for this kid. And you're talking, you know, if he has taken a full load of classes, it would have been a, you know, $30,000 bill. And so I go back, I say, good news, you can stay. Room and board. You can come to wrestling practice with us. You can audit three classes. He said, ah, good deal. I said, all you got to do is work 15 hours a day. He looks at me and goes, what? He says, Indian and work don't mix. And I said, it's time that it starts mixing. You know, just, you got to work 15 hours. He said, I ain't working. And so he packed up and he left. He got a ride home, came back here, went to jail a few times. And it was, yeah, he got his three squares and it was free. Didn't have to work. But see, that's the person I'm talking about, that Proverbs is talking about. And it's a burden to society. And it was a problem for himself. And as a believer, a sin to God. And we need to understand that. And thankfully, everybody doesn't think that way. I knew another guy, phenomenal left fielder in softball. I played softball with him, and that guy could run down a fly ball like no other, dive, make the catches. Looked like he should have been on Sports Illustrated. But he wouldn't work. He said he couldn't work because he had a bad back. And so he was on Social Security. He was on welfare because he couldn't work. That's what? It's called sin. Right? Isn't that what God's Word says? Isn't that what we've been looking at? Laziness is sin. And it's a problem with God, it's a problem with self, and it's a problem with society. And here's the so what. Work is a good thing. Isn't it? Work's a good thing. Work is commanded. Let's go quickly to Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Some people change the punctuation in that. Let him who stole steal. No longer let him labor, working with his hands. See what happens when you change the punctuation? But let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to the poor. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Laziness is sin. Work is a good thing. Work is commanded. Work is actually worship. Think about that. Work is actually worship. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And everything that we do should be for whose glory? Should be done for God's glory. Not eye service as men pleasers, but for God's glory. When you're being lazy, you're actually robbing God of worship. So be a good steward of what God has given you. What's God given you? We've all been given time. How are you spending your time? Are you wasting it? Use your effort and energy, because effort and energy, really, that's work. Use your work. Use your effort and energy to produce something with your time, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your resources. And do it for God's glory. Because laziness is sin. Don't waste your life. And make your Heavenly Father glad. Because a wise son makes his father glad. What does God think about laziness? What's he think about it? What should I think about it? How should I respond to what his word says about it? We need to work and do all for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Somewhat of a hard topic to preach through. And yet, your word has a lot to say about work. It has a lot to say about laziness. It has a lot to say about stewardship. Lord, I pray that each one of us would stop and reflect on our own lives. What are we doing with our time, our resources, our energy, our talents, our gifts, our abilities? Are we wasting it? Or are we using it for your glory? I pray that each one of us would use these things to honor you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jerry?